The following is a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZ-FM, Entercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
This is The Fanimal. When it comes to sports, don't be just a fan. Be a Fanimal. Now, here are the hosts of The Fanimal, Tony Lombardi and Miles Goodman on 105.7 The Fan.
The offseason in the NFL is upon us, and the new league year is just 32 days away. The free agency period begins on March 14th, and Steve Bisciotti has indicated that the Ravens will be players with an estimated $5 to $7 million in cap space for the moment. How can the Ravens be players in the free agency market? We'll break it down today as Russell Street Report's capologist Brian McFarland joins us in studio. The Ravens once again have several needs to fill this offseason as we shift our attention towards free agency and the draft. Which are the most important? Which are the most important positions and needs for the Ravens to address? Russell Street Report's John Darcy, he'll join us in studio. We'll discuss a few players that might attract the Ravens. Season ticket invoices have arrived. A little painful for some. Besides the AFC North opponents, the Ravens will host the Denver Broncos, the New Orleans Saints, the Oakland Raiders, Tampa Bay Bucks, and Buffalo Bills in 2018. Now, does that get you excited? It will be interesting to see just how many fans second guess that expenditure this season. Jimmy Garoppolo, he gets a 5-year $137.5 million deal with the 49ers. Now, that's a lot of coin to pay a guy who has thrown just 272 more passes in the NFL than me. And it brings up an interesting question. Do you pay players for what they've done or what you expect them to do? Dean Pease, he said that before he left Baltimore, he was asked to stay, offered a contract extension. Instead, Pease, he decided he wanted to spend a little bit more time with the family until the Titans job came along. When asked this week why he had a change of heart, Pease said there were two big attractions to the Titans job. Number one, Mike Vrabel. And number two, the city of Nashville. What does that say about John Harbaugh and the city of Baltimore? Oh, and it wasn't P's son that lured him out of his short-lived retirement. He said his son was considered as an assistant candidate after P's had agreed to take the job. Think about that. A new measure being drafted by Maryland delegate Terry Hill, a Democrat, would prohibit the Maryland State Board of Education from approving tackle football programs for children under the age of 14. Does this have a chance of getting through? In our final segment, we'll discuss this with a man who knows a thing or two about football and the law, the Honorable Governor Bob Ehrlich. We'll talk with him in the last segment. The topic is hardly music to the ears of youngsters who love the game of football. And speaking of music, our in-studio musical guest today is Dave Teef from a great local band called Laughing Colors. Dave will take us in and out of the breaks, and we'll chat with him in our second segment. So good morning, Baltimore, and welcome to another edition of The Fanimal. I'm Tony Lombardi, and this weekend, I'm not in studio with my trusty sidekick, Miles Goodman. Instead, I've got two guys from Russell Street Report. Those guys are Brian McFarland, our capologist, and John Darcy, both from Russell Street Report. Welcome in, guys. How are you this morning?
Morning, Tony. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning. Come on, John. Get the blood flowing, brother. So getting back to some of the topics, I just before we get into playing the role of Ozzie Newsome, Pat Moriarty, and the personnel department, I wanted to talk about the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. Now, I've seen a lot of Ravens fans talking on message boards and whatnot about the contract that Garoppolo landed. 5 years now, what's he, 28 years old? And he'll probably, if he plays well, he'll have another chance at another big contract, right? So a good deal for him. And he's had, like I said, 272 more passes thrown in the NFL than me. And he gets that big deal. Obviously, they're paying him for what he's expected to do going forward versus what he has done in the form of like Joe Flacco. So I'll ask you first, Brian. You're a guy familiar with contracts. Your thoughts on the contract that Garoppolo landed and it's kind of like Derek Carr in a way. They're paying him for what they expect.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's, you know, it's like you're drafting a, you know, a, you're taking quarterback in the first round in early, you know, in the early couple picks, and that's a huge contract. Especially in the old days, your Matthew Stafford kind of contract. So it's not really that much different than that, to be honest with you. Obviously, you know, I mean, he looked great. I mean, you know, so did Rick Meyer way back when for his first 8 or 10 games, and then the wheels came off the cart. So you never know. The 49ers have so much cap space, though. His cap number for this first year is going to be $37 million. And it's basically all, so basically all of his bonus, all of that kind of structure counts this year.
Because they have a ton of space.
So they can burn it out this year. And I think his signing bonus was only like $7 million. So they could cut him next year, $5 million in dead money, and that's it. So they can do that. They can take that risk. And, I mean, it's a lot of money to pay him for 1 year. But if it doesn't work out, they can walk away. Whereas, you know, we've talked a lot about Flacco's contract, and it's the opposite. You know, it's back-ended. It makes it hard to cut if you need to. So, you know, so they've structured it so that they can get out of it. And it's a lot of money, but it's less risk for them.
John, do you compare Garoppolo to, let's say, Kirk Cousins, who's a guy who's going to be a free agent, and you think he comes in at a bigger dollar figure than Garoppolo?
Yes, and one of the pet peeves of mine is nowadays when these contracts get handed out, it's always the highest paid player ever. Well, that's for 2 weeks until Aaron Rodgers signs or Kirk Cousins signs or Drew Brees signs. So looking at this, you look at Kirk Cousins, who will be 30 years old, star of the season, experienced quarterback, but has never had a better season than 8-8. He's never won a playoff game. Garoppolo came into a San Fran team, led him to, I believe, 6-0, 5-0, come off the bench. He's only 26 years old. There's a lot of promise there, and he fits well into the Kyle Shanahan system. And Shanahan, when he was the OC in Cleveland, was very high on Garoppolo in that draft. And, of course, went to the Manziel instead. So
he's got a really good relationship with Bill Belichick, and they've got a lot of good intel on him. And if you listen to some of the Patriots players and former players talk about Garoppolo, they talk very highly of him, and they expect him to do very, very well.
I read a quote this morning that I think it's huge. Garoppolo said he learned to prepare by following Tom Brady. That is not something you can learn by following another quarterback. Tom Brady, love him or hate him, is probably the greatest of all time. The way he prepares, the way he studies the game, and Garoppolo was able for 3 years, almost four, to follow that and learn that trait. And that's something that can't be taught.
And now he's making more money than Brady, probably, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Brady's been the ultimate, you know, team player as far as salary goes. So obviously there are all kinds of reasons for that, but he's let them be able to sign people. You know, what's his cap numbers, like $20 million.
So the trick is to find quarterbacks who are married to supermodels.
Exactly. Right.
Help offset those costs, right? Right. So he's playing it for spending money, right?
Right, exactly. It's his allowance.
Dean Pease, you know, his comments, two things brought him out of his semi-retirement or short-lived retirement, and those things were the city of Nashville and Mike Vrabel. Any thoughts on Dean Pease? Glad it happened, upset that he did it for the reasons he did and he's back in the game, or are you just looking forward to when the Ravens go down to Nashville this year and hopefully have a fourth quarter comeback win by Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising, obviously. He sounded sincere about retirement. I kind of liken it to the Gary Kubiak situation where he said he would only become a head coach again, in the right situation. And Elway, his best buddy, was that right situation. So I think Vrabel sort of is that same kind of draw for Pease. You know, whether he left here on his own or was, you know, sort of the Jim Caldwell sort of go find something, who knows? I mean, well, I guess we'll never know that for sure. But I think Pease got somewhat of a bad rap, but it will be nice to hopefully have a little more aggression and maybe some innovation that wasn't there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I know a lot of fans wanted Chuck Pagano to come back, and maybe there were some reasons that Chuck wasn't ready. He just wanted to take a year off. Maybe he didn't want to come to a coaching staff that's kind of on thin ice, you know, maybe move his family again. So there's probably a lot of reasons. We'll see what Wink Martindale can do. Hopefully it's more than tic-tac-toe.
Right.
So let's move. Let's do a little role-playing here. I'm going to ask you guys to, you know, draw from your areas of expertise, and I'm going to play the role of Ozzie Newsome, okay? And Brian, you being the capologist, you're going to be Pat Moriarty. And John, I'm going to ask you to be the personnel department. You're going to play a dual role. You're going to be Joe Hortiz a little bit, and you're going to be George Kokinas a little bit, and you're going to play the pro player and college player in terms of personnel. So let's start it off by saying, or kind of recapping, Brian, where the Ravens are at this point in time cap-wise.
Well, right now they have about $10 million in cap space. They're going to have to tender their exclusive rights free agents, and there's some adjustments that'll come on. So I'm without any moves, which obviously we're going to talk about what we're going to do, we'll start with $6 million in cap space.
Okay, and so then, we've got $6 million. Now, Steve Bisciotti made it pretty clear, again, I'm Ozzie, that we got to make some impact moves in free agency. Not a lot of coin to play with, so we got to create some space. So I'm going to go through a few players who might create some room depending upon what the Ravens do with them. Let's start with guys that they might let go of. So your opinion, Brian, about Jeremy Maclin. Is he back in 2018, or is that an easy cut in your mind?
He's the easiest one. It's $5 million. It's a nice one place to get a big amount of money. So, and obviously, it didn't work out. For whatever reason, it absolutely didn't work out.
So. It really didn't. And you have to wonder, you know, we have intel. And again, I'm speaking from the position of Ozzie Newsome. We have intel from Marty Morningwig, who coached him. We have intel from Andy Reid, who's good buddies with John Harbaugh. How did they miss so badly on this guy?
Who knows? Yeah.
All right, so Jeremy Maclin's gone. We've now got $11 million in space. Down a receiver, but we've got $11 million. Okay, Ladarius Webb, another one that looks a little obvious to me. Letting him go. We got Tavon Young coming back. Maurice Kennedy had a pretty good season. I think he's got something to build on. What do we do with Ladarius Webb?
I think he's the next easiest cut. It's not a lot of savings. It's $1.75 million. But with all the younger corners, obviously we're a little concerned about the health of the three coming back from injury. But they look to be deep enough that I think Webb's gone. And by the end of the year, he was hardly playing. So
right. Okay. Now we got 12.75. This is getting easy now.
Well, let me caution you on one thing, though.
Okay.
It's not that easy. When it comes time to sign your rookies, your draft picks, you're going to need about $2.5 to $3 million.
Okay.
And teams would, we saw how many injuries they had last year. You'd like to have $5 million set aside.
Okay. So that eats up about eight of my 12.75.
Yep. You're losing about $8 million right there. Obviously the more injuries you have, that's why they had to restructure some deals going into September last year. Hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
But so I got 4.75 to play with right now.
That's probably realistic.
I'm going to need a little more.
You're going to need a lot more.
Okay, let's go down the list. Austin Howard had a decent season, not a great season at right tackle, but given his contract, a starting right tackle, not a bad price to pay with that guy. And he'll be his second season in the system. I think one of the most understated things of this season with the Ravens was the performance of that offensive line despite all those injuries. They were, I think, according to Football Outsiders, the sixth-ranked offensive line in the league. Not bad for what they had to work with. So is he back, or do they move on from Austin Howard? And if we do move on, how much money do we save?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a $5 million cap number, which is very reasonable. You got to think at some point they're going to take a right tackle in the draft. But having Howard around to, you know, because if they take a tackle in the fourth round, you can't expect him to start necessarily. So I got to think he stays. It's a cap number of $5 million. There is $3 million in savings, which is a decent chunk of change. But at least till the draft, I think he stays. After that, who knows?
Okay, so I'm still at 4.75. Now, John, you had an article on Russell Street Report, I think it was last week.
Yes.
Talking about the Senior Bowl. And I think you brought up a really, really good point. You thought that Brandon Carr might be one of those guys the Ravens could cut loose, and finding a replacement for him might not be so difficult in the draft. So talk about some cheap labor that the Ravens could find maybe day two, day three to replace a guy like Brandon Carr.
I think if you started off at pick 16, in my opinion, there is no offensive player there worth taking. He'll be a game changer. Carr will really be gone. Darius Geis may or may not be there, but you have two corners at 16 could be there. Denzel Ward of Ohio State and Josh Jackson out of Iowa. Both those guys can come in day one and start. They're plug-and-play players. Now, After that, you go down the line and you look at some other cornerbacks. You have Isaiah Oliver out of Colorado, same place Jimmy Smith.
Where does he go?
Colorado.
In the draft.
He's a late first, early second round pick.
Give me somebody like in round three.
Round three, a guy who's slipping is Mike Hughes from UCF.
Why is he slipping?
2-year player in college, only 1-year starter. Now, UCF had a great year this year. He might test higher, but a lot of scouts have him in the second round, maybe third, based on limited tape.
What's the level of competition that he faced? Did he face anybody tough?
South Florida, right? I mean, that's probably the best. You know, they went to the New Year's Day Bowl and won, but he's an intriguing candidate. So,
okay, intriguing. He intrigues me. Round three.
I kind of like it.
Brian, if we get rid of Brandon, what do we save?
Carr saves $4 million. The big question there, I think, is going to be what their prognosis for Jimmy Smith, Tavon Young, Jalen Hill will be.
Okay, so
when they expect them back.
I like what John's telling me. I think we're going to find somebody. I think the return of Tavon Young and the performance of Maurice Kennedy, plus what we could pick up in the draft. I'm now at $8.75 million in space.
All right.
Okay. Eric Weddle.
That's an interesting one. And if it's $4.75 million if you cut him. You got to replace a starter. There's no heir apparent on this roster right now. But if there is a sneaky surprise cut, that would be, there always seems to be one every year. That would probably be the one to me because, again, there's almost $5 million there. He's got an $8.25 million cap number, so you're looking at, you're looking at a decent chunk of change. That's an interesting call, but, again, the biggest thing there is you got to replace a starter. So you need a young tackle, you need wide receivers like crazy, you need tight ends. Is it worth that to create another hole?
Any chance that they could extend or restructure him?
They could restructure him. He's got another year on his deal. That saves it'll be close to $3 million. Extending him, he's 30 what now? 31?
An old 31.
I don't know. I mean, you can extend him with the idea that we're just doing it for cap purposes and we're not planning on him being here. You're creating dead money into the future if you do that. It's not wise to extend a guy if you don't think he's going to finish those years.
Okay, so if I do let Eric Weddle go, I'm now at $13.5 million in cap space to play with, but I got to replace my starting safety.
Correct.
And that starting safety, by the way, I'm thinking this from a football perspective, I don't really think that he's a good match with Tony Jefferson. I think their skill sets are similar. They're better up in the box kind of guys and not free, center fielders. They're not good free safeties. So, John, is there some free safety that plays that center field role in the draft?
Here's a day two pick for you. Armani Watts out of Texas A&M.
Okay.
Played big-time competition in the SEC. Problem is 5'11", 200. Doesn't have the prototypical size, but 10 career picks, 24 tackles for loss. Plays good man-to-man coverage. He's a guy who I think could come in here and be that ball-hawking center fielder we've been missing for the past 5 years.
A starter day one?
Could be, yes.
Could be, okay.
Intriguing enough that fourth round I'm taking him.
Danny Woodhead. The Ravens have Alex Collins coming back. They got Buck Allen coming back. And Dixon. Do they need Woodhead? And if we cut him loose, what kind of cap savings?
Obviously, things didn't work out as they had planned. Whether that makes him expendable now, again, age, he's had a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. There's $1.8 million in cap savings there. If they feel comfortable with Dixon having his head on straight to be your third down back as well, the question there is picking up the blitz, obviously, which is one of the things they liked about Woodhead, too. But if they feel the three they have, who knows if they may draft another one. I think he certainly... I mean, if he had the year they were expecting, the answer is probably no because he's not that expensive. But because of the injuries that have piled up, I think that 1.8 may be worth it.
Okay, so right now if we let Woodhead go, and I'm leaning that way, $15.3 million in cap space, but we need a starting safety, probably a reserve running back, and we let go of Macklin, Webb, and car. That's where I'm at right now. So we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to visit with our musical guest today, Dave Teef. And also, we're going to finish up this project. We're going to do this round table, and as we do it, we'll be talking as to what kind of final moves we're going to make for the Baltimore Ravens as we play the roles of Ozzie Newsome, Pat Moriarty, and the Ravens personnel department. So don't go away. You're listening to The Fanimal here on 105.7 The Fan. Take it away, Dave.